I'm Kier.
And I'm Alyssa from In Defense Of, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests.
Be sure to check out all the other podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 103 of Better Podcasting. Today, we try to get that noise down. Cut that out, kids! I'm podcasting!
In this week's Better Podcasting download, we revisit an old download. Plus, you're going to hear a little bit about my 15 minutes of fame. Or was it pages?
And finally, in this week's Better Pod Back, we light it up with feedback new and old.
Lauren, light it up now!
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 103 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is the wonderful Stargate Pioneer.
I am wonderful SP this week because I am indeed the monkey flipping the soundboard switches, and unfortunately there's no switches. It's all push button. It's all on an iPad. There's no mechanical things whatsoever. It's literally I push something and it plays.
You know, a while back we talked about how there was the failure of that Adam Curry project. I forget what it was called, but that, you know, that idea that you just have would totally sell for nostalgia reason. If it was a soundboard with physical switches, people would be like, oh, it's like the old days. So there you go. There's your $1 million idea right there, Stargate Pioneer.
That's great. And we could actually get a monkey from the Vancouver Zoo in and start flipping switches just randomly throughout the podcast and see what that actually came out to be.
All right, we're here to talk about some fun podcast stuff tonight, including tailored towards the hobby podcaster, because that's what we are about, all about here at the Better Podcasting Podcast. We're not about speaking well, no, but we're about the hobbyist. And one thing that is interesting about a hobbyist is that they're passionate. They're passionate about podcasting, right, SP?
We are so passionate. We love what we do to the point where we will podcast every... I podcasted in a sauna. I podcasted on a boat. I have podcasted from the roadside on a highway. I have podcasted from hotels. I have podcasted from bathrooms. I have podcasted everywhere.
Yes, and we are also passionate about our equipment, right, Stargate Pioneer?
Oh, I love my gear. I mean, that's what it's all about for me. I just love the gear. I'm a rocket scientist. The gear intrigues me. I mean, what's not to like about the gear?
SP has no idea where I'm going with this, by the way. So one thing that is actually very interesting for me is this past weekend, I had a sort of bittersweet moment. For those of you who haven't been following or stalking me to the adequate levels, you might not know this, but last year I made a big jump for most of my podcast career. I said podcast career. Most of my podcast history, I was using what was called a Cakewalk FA66 Firewire audio interface. I was using that to capture. It went into a computer and I did it all that way. Yeah, there's pros and cons and all that stuff there. But last year I decided to make the jump to the Zoom H6 handheld recorder. Lot simpler process for me. This past weekend, I decided it was time to let it go. Why you may have not known this, but it was actually still serving a purpose up until I sold it. It was acting as a camera riser at home. So when I get back from being on the road, I'm going to have to find a new riser. But it was a faithful device. And so I decided to let it go. It was pretty sad, though. It was very sad. So I say that actually authentically, because I use that thing a lot. I learned a lot of podcasting stuff using that device, so it was kind of sad to see it go, which is why, of course, I decided to make a little video as I was about to run out the door. So excuse the sound, excuse the video if you're watching the video side of things, and I just thought I would catalog my last couple moments before I said farewell.
Well, hello there, Better Podcasting and Gonna Geek listeners and watchers and viewers and hate mail senders. It is a very sad day for me today. You'll see that I didn't plan this at all. I'm about to head out. That's why you can see the backdrop behind me. It's against the wall. It's not set up properly. There's no microphones, all that. But I thought I needed to make a documentation of the end of an era. That's right. If all goes well, as I head out that door, I'm going to drive to somewhere that someone is going to pay me to buy off the Cakewalk FA66. This thing served me well. I'd still be using it if it wasn't for the Zoom H6 that I decided to buy. This thing here, this guy, got me through a lot of different podcasts recorded on it, a lot of different heartache, because it was like, oh, this is my lovely podcast that's going to make me a millionaire, and then it never ended up happening because, well, let's be honest, that's never going to happen. So today is the end of the era. The FA66 leaves. This guy here leaves the house for good. Tear roll.
So there you go. I had to document it. I had to say goodbye, cry a little bit, be sad a little bit. But it's gone. She is gone and no longer a part of my life.
And FireWire is, quite frankly, gone from just about most people's lives at this point in time.
And by the way, if you were talking about echo in the room and whatnot, my apologies. I literally grabbed my phone and just took a video because I was about to head out the door. So it was a last minute thing. And I hope that you quite enjoyed that. And you said this is not how Steven should sound.
I did enjoy it because it looked to me a little bit. It looked, and not sounded, but it looked like Matt Damon in The Martian to me.
So if you want to tell us what's the last thing that you got rid of, please do get in touch with us through a variety of ways. You can find us at facebook.com/gonnageek. You can tweet us at BetterPod or just head on over to betterpodcasting.com and let us know what was the last thing you sold and was it emotional for you, because I am still crying over it. Stargate Pioneer just laughed though.
I am, because I haven't actually sold any of my podcast gear. It is all literally still in my room, or I've given it away. I give my stuff away, Steven. I don't sell it. Although there is something to be said about actually buying gear rather than just being given it for free, because you value it more.
Yeah. Anywho, speaking of value, let's value your signal chain. This week, we're talking about signal chain. That's right. Sometimes in your podcast world, you'll say to yourself, Steven, I hear hiss. It's hiss, and it's not me just making the sound going hiss. So what's going on? Well, Stargate Pioneer today has prepared a series of tips for you about reducing noise in your signal chain.
Dude, you know, every once in a while when we start recording on any one of my shows, including Better Podcasting or GonnaGeek.com, which I do with Steven and Chris over on GonnaGeek, is every once in a while somebody comes in and it's like, shh, or it sounds echoey and you're like, are you on your right microphone? That's usually where we start out with. Are you on the right microphone? So you do a little tap on the microphone and okay, you're using that microphone, and then you start diagnosing from there. So generally, let's back up a step. Here on Better Podcasting, we generally have two key styles of episodes. The first is more softer tips and tricks. The other is, well, quite frankly, downright technical. Today, we're going to get technical. So today, we're going to talk about the signal chain. That's right. If you've ever wondered about some tips about how to reduce that hiss sound in your signal, today is your day on Better Podcasting. But before we start off, we have to start off with the most obvious. Neither of us are technical engineers. Nope, I might be a rocket scientist, but I am not trained in audio production. Steven, while he does have some video production training, is not a trained audio engineer.
No, I'm not. All audio engineers are far better than me. That's so the truth. But no, we're not trained. So we're just telling you exactly what we've noticed with our experience in podcasting, some real world tips that might help you isolate some of that noise. Now, let's go ahead and start off with one of the more obvious things. Let's start with your room, because that's a pretty important thing. If you are in a noisy environment where you actually have like a fan near you or an AC unit or maybe your computer fan, it's going to be hard to limit that out. So we just want to throw that out before we actually get into signal chain. That if you have room noise, let's fix that before you work to diagnose some signal problems.
If your window is open, you have a train going by in the background, you got a neighbor mowing the lawn, you have some motorcycles going down the road behind you, that's not going to come out. So you're just going to have to take care of that somehow. I've heard, by the way, Stephen, to suffer for your art. In a lot of people's cases, that means turning off the air conditioner while you podcast. Matter of fact, our very own Emily Prokop, our reporter, she went out into her car in the heat of summer to record a little bit about her Zoom H5. And I've done that before. I've recorded short bits of audio in my car when it's like 90 degrees out. That lasts for about 90 seconds before you're just sopping wet and you have to move ahead. So there's just so much you can do to suffer for your art. But sometimes you have to do that. So yeah, take care of the room, take care of your recording environment and go from there. So the other key tip that we can give you right off the bat is to give your signal chain as much gain as early in the signal chain as possible.
Yeah, and this is something that you want to really remember is that if you end up having a microphone, like I'll give you an example. If you have a microphone that goes into a mixer, and then from the mixer, it goes like into a recorder. Well, if you end up keeping your gain levels low, that first part, the part from your microphone into the mixer, you're going to have to make that up later. So when you go and you increase that level later, what happens is any noise that was in the cable between your microphone and the mixer is also being enhanced. So you got to think about that. So if you end up increasing the gain sooner on, that's less signal noise that you have to amplify later. It's a really important thing. And if you follow that process, it's usually going to reduce a lot of the problems. Now, with that said, you might be in a situation that you need to be able to have clean gain added to your signal early on. Like, let's say you have a mixer that just isn't powerful enough to cleanly amplify your microphone. You might need to get an extra device, such as a DBX 286S. Microphone preamp and processor, or maybe a FET head or a cloud lifter. These are all things that are meant to help give your microphone or whatever it is, amplification, cleanly.
That is one of the reasons why I got a DBX 286S is because I wanted that preamp before I went into my actual mixer. And at the time when I first started using it, I used a Shure SM7B, which is largely acknowledged to need a lot of gain. So I don't think necessarily you're going to be able to drive that with your existing recording devices and not end up with some possible gain distortion just because you're going to have to drive it to the top end of whatever gain is possible on your mixer or your recorder. That's a case where you're going to probably have to add stages of gain too in order to get a nice amplified signal out. So just keep that in mind. If you are using a microphone that needs additional gain, get the most clean gain that you can get early in the signal chain with a digital audio processor, a tube amplifier I've heard is great, or a inline amplification device like a FET head or a cloud lifter.
Absolutely. Obviously, your signal has to go somewhere, unless it's just a wireless signal, and then that's just magic. But no, you're going to use cables. And one thing that we want to mention is that cables can affect the noise. Now, we're not talking about buying super expensive cables. We mentioned a few weeks ago back on the show that we don't have a lot of experience with super expensive cables. But what we are talking about is the type of cable. For example, some cables might have more shielding than other, and that can cause problems. If you have a bunch of cables going near other electronics, more shielding is generally better because it's going to allow less noise interference. This is something that I have personally seen. I have been in many situations where I've had a very, very thin, like teeny cable. And obviously, there's not much shielding on that, and I'm getting some weird noise. And I go and I replace it with something a little beefier that must have more shielding. And sure, what do you know? Then problem goes away.
There's also an additional benefit to more shielding in that they tend to last longer. That doesn't actually happen all the time. But if you think about it, it takes shielding a while to degrade. And if you are talking about degrading shielding over more material, then it's going to take longer. Generally, it depends on if you've kinked it or not over time, because if you kinked it, you can break the shielding within the wiring, and that could lead to leakage, and then you have signal loss through your cable. But the thinner the cable is, as Stephen mentioned, the more likely you're going to get those cracks in the shielding, and you're going to get signal loss through a leak in the cable itself. And one thing that I've noticed, especially with my setup, which is on the more advanced side, it's not the most advanced setup around, but I will admit it's on the advanced side, is I've got power cables running in conjunction with the audio cables. You try to separate them as much as possible, and I just realized that that's just not going to be possible in an environment, in a room that wasn't designed for audio production. You're not going to automatically have different cable runs for the different cabling, for the audio cables and the power cables. So sometimes you're going to have them together. If you have to cross the cables, it's always best to go at a 90 degree angle. But if you can't do that, just try to separate them as much as possible to try to get a better, cleaner signal through the audio cable away from the electric cable.
That's why I only run one cable per room. That's why. No, that's not true.
That would be a big house in your setup.
Connections are another thing that you want to pay attention to. A good connection, like an XLR or a quarter inch TS-TRS, whichever, a quarter inch cable, they generally clip in. You know, I was making the clip motion for you audio listeners.
I thought you were stuttering.
That it could very well be. No, but they do indeed clip in, and this can be very beneficial because if you have something loose, i.e. like a poor RCA connection, that can bring more interference into the line. So you might have the best cable in the world, but you get to your connection and it's loose, and it picks up some of that signal nearby and that interference nearby. There's also this whole thing of grounding, and you might want to go ahead and familiarize yourself with grounding, because grounding can definitely make a difference, but also balanced versus unbalanced signals. The thing to remember with a balanced signal is that if you've ever looked at like a quarter inch cable that is balanced, you see two rings. It looks very familiar. It looks a lot like a stereo connection. And the reason why is because it's pretty much essentially the same cable. Yes, technically the balanced specifications are different than the stereo specifications, but a lot of times they're interchangeable. And the reason why this is, with a stereo connection, you get a left and a right signal. So down one of the rings, essentially, it sends the left signal, and on the right, it sends the right channel. With the balanced, the way it works is it sends the same signal down both rings, except it inverts one of those signals. There's a whole bunch of things that happened at the other end of it, which ends up essentially negating the noise because of that process. You can look it up. It's very technical, but that's why you usually need to use balanced on longer runs to help reduce noise. And that's exactly what a balanced versus unbalanced, how it operates. And so a balanced connection can sometimes make a difference if you're having noise in your chain, if you're using unbalanced right now.
Another thing, just to let you know, if you're looking at a balanced versus unbalanced cables, If you happen to be using an audio interface or a mixer with an insert cable and you have some sort of a audio processor or a compressor outside of your mixer, you need to use what's known as an insert cable. And for the video watcher, I'm actually holding up an insert cable right now. Basically, it looks like a stereo connection on one hand. It's basically a tip and ring where the tip is send and the ring is receive, or maybe it's vice versa. And the on the other side, it is just a TS cable. And that is where you just have the one ring on the cable. And that's meant to go in and out. So these cables, these stereo cables, can also be used to send and receive signals.
The next one is one that I'm passionate about, but I'll let SP talk about it because, quite honestly, SP also is a little passionate about it now, too.
Yeah, we've both had to use these things called ground loop isolators because we've had ground loop problems. It is because you have noise that is happening electronically in the system. Remember before I was talking about electronic interference in the audio cables? You can get that. You can actually get that because the electric signal is slightly out of phase between one electrical component and another electrical component. Say you're running a digital audio processor into a mixer and into a computer on the signal, and you have all three plugged into three different outlets in your room. They could all be interfering with each other. So one way to assist this is to plug them all in the same plug. Another way is to use a power conditioner. But if you don't have those options available, and sometimes those don't even work, what is good to use is what is known as a ground loop isolator. I have a couple examples in my hands right now in the video. First of all, one is a Behringer HD400, and that's basically a two-channel quarter-inch ground loop isolator. It's a hum destroyer is what it's called. And this is pretty cool to use. I've used it a couple of times to try to diagnose issues going on with my old computer. It didn't work because my old computer was fried, but it would have worked if it had been that issue. And then another more common ground loop noise isolator is one that you can actually use in your car with the 3.5 millimeter jack if your car and your device takes 3.5 millimeters. But basically it's great. It's just this ground loop noise isolator, and then you plug in a 3.5 millimeter short cord into one side and then your device into the other side. And it is great on getting that hum and hiss out in your car. Does it work 100% all the time? No, but it really mitigates it down. It takes that noise and hiss down several dB.
Yeah, if you're having like a hiss or a hum or a whine is a huge indication, try to, and not just, you know, the type you drink, that's just a whole other thing. But if you are having a whine in your signal chain, try one of these because you can find them on like Amazon, the second one that SP described, you can find it for like under $10. It's worth buying to try. And it has saved my bacon so many times because that whole everything in one outlet thing has rarely worked for me. So definitely, if you're having that, try one of those. Another thing that you want to consider if you are looking to reduce your signal chain noise is your mixer configuration. We talked earlier about how you want to have your gain early on in your signal chain. Well, your mixer also kind of follows this same logic. If you think about it, things have to route a certain way within your mixer. You plug in your microphone into channel one and it comes out somewhere else. Well, it has to route through different pieces of equipment. And often what you'll see on a mixer is there are two knobs. One is a gain knob and the other is a volume knob, or, you know, it's a fader or something like that. Often the way that mixers work is that the gain is one of the first essentially touches within that signal chain. And then from there, it passes it on to the fader. So that same logic we mentioned earlier about increasing your gain early on, nearest to your like microphone, applies here. If, for example, you are running your channel one where your microphone comes in, if you're running it at a minus 10 level, because sometimes the boards have that where you can set the operating level lower, if you're running it as a minus 10 dB level, that means that that is reducing the noise, the signal, 10 decibels. And thus, later, you're going to have to make up those 10, increasing the noise in between those two points. So you really need to make sure that you watch your levels as early as possible within your mixer signal route, because the last thing you want to do is reduce the levels so much early on in your mixer that later you got to increase it, and thus increasing the noise that your board has. Because tell you what, your board has a certain level of noise too. Sorry, doesn't matter the board.
It does, and it could just be the preamp. It could be the signal chain within the board, but every piece of electrical equipment, every piece of audio equipment is going to have some level of noise as you go in your signal chain. And just the key is to try to minimize that. And that's what we're talking about. So we hope that these tips have helped you. By the way, your noise levels are only going to be as good as your equipment. So there are some pieces of equipment that are noisier than others. And if you run into that, then you have to try to minimize the amount of gain going through that piece of equipment to try to maximize your clean signal.
So if you've tried all of these tips and you still have a problem, one thing that you might want to try to do is remove certain components because of that. Like if, for example, you have your microphone and it goes into a mixer, and then from the mixer, it goes into your recorder, maybe try a couple different combinations. You look and you pull out that mixer and you see, is the noise still there? If the noise is gone, well, guess what? Sorry, the problem's in your mixer. Try to fix it or get a new mixer.
I've had to get new mixers before. Matter of fact, I'm on my third mixer since I started podcasting.
I just thought of something. Try to fix her or get a new mixer.
Oh, Steven's on fire tonight from the hotel room. We hope that these audio tips have helped you. If you have another tip that we haven't talked about, or have a question about a particular instance where you're just receiving a lot of hiss and noise, please hit us up. We'll try to help you. But in some cases, you might end up having to get new equipment just because after you go through some troubleshooting, because equipment does go bad over time. Matter of fact, I just replaced a 20-foot XLR cable because it was getting too noisy. So yes, it does happen.
It does. All right, well, let's go ahead and download.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
You know, there is an old saying, and it's listen to Steven and Stargate Pioneer. No, I'm just joking. That's not a saying at all. No, we talked a few weeks back. We talked a few weeks back about a service called Podient. It is one that they made a bit of a splash earlier this year when they launched, and they did offer a free service. And we talked about 7 weeks ago about how Podient had started the crowdfunding model. That's right. They were turning over to try to make some money by crowdfunding. This was something that they were looking to do because, of course, when you have a free service, you're not making money. So that's what they were looking to do. Well, jump ahead 7 weeks, and this past week, there was an announcement made. Right, Espy?
Yes, Podient made an announcement basically that said, we're pretty much getting rid of our free tier. There is still going to be a free model on Podient. It is going to be called the community model, and they say they're sorry. Basically, if you're doing the two guys talking from the basement about the latest Marvel movie, you're probably not going to qualify for the community plan. The community plan is literally for those people that don't have a voice otherwise. So I'm thinking more along the lines of like a charity or a public service. That's their community plan. So if you don't qualify for that, and I realize there are some people that listen to this podcast that do podcasts that would qualify, but for the most people out there, most podcasts out there, you're not going to qualify. So you're going to be slotted into the professional plan, which is $12.99 a month. And more info will be coming out on that in the next couple of days. So the article that was posted about Podient is called Changes Are Afoot, and These Changes Will Affect You. Mark from Podient did a phenomenal job of detailing what was going on with the service. And I would recommend that you check it out. If you're interested in Podient, or maybe you're hosting right now on Podient and you haven't heard about any of this, or you haven't checked it out, you need to check this out because your hosting is going to change because of it.
Yeah, I will say that I saw Mark make a couple appearances, and it looks like he's really, you know, willing to work with some of the other host providers if someone's trying to migrate away. He's trying to make it as smooth as possible. So I like that attitude. I think that's pretty cool, recognizing that people might have to migrate because this is just a situation that they don't want to be a part of. And he's willing to work with some of the other folks to help try to get those people moved over. So kudos to Mark on that. And I can only imagine that there's sort of a period when you are in the process of making such a drastic change that you kind of need to step back and restructure a little bit. So I hope it works out for Podient. Yes, I had some problems myself when I did set it up, but it's early. So, you know, what hosting provider hasn't had problems before? So I wish them luck, and we will see what happens. But the moral of this story, if you are an avid Better Podcast listener, or maybe you just watch us and you document every single episode and you track how many times Steven's away, you might have noticed that the last time we talked about Podient, I was actually in Vancouver on the road. And today I am in Vancouver on the road, which basically means that whenever I go to Vancouver, Podient is going to make an announcement. That's just guaranteed at this point.
You know what's going to happen? Mark is going to handcuff you to your chair at home so you can't leave and go to Vancouver. So a little bit of technical notes here that he said in the article. I just want to hit this really quick if you're really interested, because we've talked about how free hosting is probably not a viable business option because of bandwidth and storage. Well, interestingly enough, in the article, he said, over the past week, we've seen a huge influx of traffic that we're struggling and often failing to keep up with. Storage and bandwidth aren't a problem. Let me repeat that. Storage and bandwidth are not a problem. We just can't afford the computing power right now to handle all the feed requests. So that's interesting. They're saying that it's the computing power that is the issue for them rather than the storage of the bandwidth, which actually gets into a point that we covered in episode 65 about hosting your own podcast on a media server and why we recommend that you check into those web servers to make sure that they can handle your traffic, because it might not necessarily be the storage. It might not necessarily be the bandwidth. It might be how often that CPU is being hit for requests.
Absolutely. So I thought that that was very fascinating, just because we hear often about bandwidth, and obviously bandwidth is going to be a concern because somebody's got to pay for it. But to see that that wasn't their show stopping moment, it's interesting and very eye opening. And it really does make sense when you're doing something like making RSS feeds that are generating essentially a static piece of information that has to also be in the back end dynamic. As soon as you hit post, it's available to everybody else. So definitely interesting to see. And I look forward to seeing where things go with Podient. Now, where are things going with Steven? SP, I had a very interesting past week. Don't you agree?
I think you did. You know what? I think I was stalking you, and I was going on to Google Image, and I was right clicking every image of you. And you know how Google has that great thing, you know, find similar image? All of a sudden, your image popped up in a location that I was not expecting. And I was like, oh, cool. I get to see more Steven.
First off, you have a problem, and you definitely need help. Secondly, okay, so joking aside, what happened was, it was actually really funny. This past week, you know how last week, if you listen to the show or watch it live, we recorded a day early because I had some personal commitments on the Wednesday. Well, that Wednesday, as I was sitting there, I saw somebody post a interesting guide about podcasting. So I just quickly sent it off to SP, like him and I do all the time. We send things back and forth, and we don't always get to look at them right away, but it's there for us to reference later when we have some time. Jump ahead a couple hours, and SP is pointing out that the thing that I sent to him, on page 7 was my ugly mug. Yeah, that's right. Apparently in this PDF, my ugly mug was found in there on a whole page about microphone positioning. So I thought that that was pretty interesting considering I didn't authorize it.
No, you didn't authorize it at all. You're just minding your own business. You're posting your own pictures up on your own website. And yeah, all of a sudden those pictures appear somewhere else. That was interesting. And what was even more interesting that we found out that ultimately we're talking about somewhere else in Canada used the image. So you're not even talking about crossing country borders. So when your image is being used without your permission on a picture that you posted underneath copyrighted rights, which it happens on websites, then you have a choice to make. Do you let it slide or do you say something about it?
Which in my case worked out okay, because by the time I even had a chance to really think about it, I was actually already tagged by somebody in one of the places that this was blasted. And apparently the author hadn't really realized it. So it took it down before I could even respond. So I really appreciate that the author was so on top of it. That was very much appreciated. And it all ended up working out because ultimately, you know, it's not my property. Maybe I would say yes, depending on the person. But it's just like, if it's not my thing, probably doesn't really make sense for my picture to be there. So I just kind of elected against it. But it is something that if you are going to be posting something, you always want to double check things and make sure that they do have permission for them. The long story short with this one here was I ended up locating pretty quickly. It was just the top Google for a certain Google term. I don't remember off the top of my head which Google term that it was, but I was able to find it pretty quick. There was two pictures, mine and somebody else, and I know what it was. It was podcast microphone placement, and it was one of the top ones on there. So I just thought that was interesting to see, and I really appreciate the author pulling that down proactively before I even had to say anything. So there was my whole 15 minutes of fame. I was page 7 of a PDF that was posted online.
At least it was about podcasting in general and tips and tricks to podcast. Now, we are not lawyers. We do not play lawyers on this podcast. I do not play a lawyer, period. So please don't take our advice as sound legal advice in any country. And we would recommend that if this happens to you, that you go seek legal representation. But what I was getting at before is if you don't take proactive steps to limit the distribution of your content, then it can become public domain eventually. So you want to check with a lawyer to figure out what you want to do, what you can do. And if you want to limit the distribution of your content that you've created, then you're probably going to have to be proactive and tell that individual to take it down. Now, we have touched briefly before about DCMA takedown notices, which is applicable in America. We've talked now about this. So there are legitimate things. I mean, if you have a podcast and you're making it to promote a service that you have, or maybe the podcast is the service that you're giving out, then you want to protect that intellectual property. And the best advice I can give you is find a lawyer that can do that for you. And yeah, you're going to have to pay a little bit, but in the end, that means you've protected your intellectual property, which could make you money in the future.
For sure. So there you go. Now you know about how unfamous I am. I think I'm actually less famous now than I was before this happened.
I'm pretty sure you're fame is dropping exponentially each minute you continue to podcast.
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about what happened in your podcasting world this past week. Last week, while we were recording, we got a hilarious tweet from the one and only W. Scott Smith. You can find him at W. Scott Smith 19. No, he's not 18 or 20. He's W. Scott Smith 19 on Twitter. And he said, watching at Better Pod Live. And it was a picture of me And he was watching us with a magnifying glass. So we want to know, how do you watch us? Please tweet us at BetterPod with a picture of how you do watch us or listen to us, of course, because we know that the majority of our audience listens to us after the fact. So just send us a picture. How do you do that? And you can include yourself if you want, or you can just take a picture of the device that's watching us. It's cool. We just want to know, how exactly do you do that?
It is interesting for us to know, because then we can make content that is better for you to consume. Also, we had an interesting tweet come in from the new Twitter account at Podcast Share. Live shows with chat room are great for interaction and other listeners / watchers and the host. Thanks for a great show at Better Pod. We want to thank you very much for that at Podcast Share. If you want to check out that Twitter account, please do so. There is actually, it's a roving account every week, and there's an application process to go through if you think you want to run it, or maybe you want to nominate another podcaster to run it, and it is great. I believe our very own Emily Prokop has something to do with that. I don't know. So go and apply and find out what's going on with that. And also, we got another tweet from at Forgotten TV Show. And at Forgotten TV Show had replied, F for Forgotten TV next time, the podcast that brings you TV memories of the 70s and 80s. That would be great. A Welcome Back Cotter podcast.
I'm not going to show my lack of age, okay?
Your lack of it. You don't know the Welcome Back Cotter theme? I was sure you'd break out in song about the Welcome Back Cotter. Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Well, let's move on to the next tweet then. At Damien, the DM tweeted us and he said, I actually added a couple of episodes of Just One More Fix to my playlist to try them out after the bonus episode. That's right. In the bonus episode, which we did on International Podcasting Day, which you can find at internationalpodcastingday.com, we had a little game with Heather that joined us, and we named off different podcasts. And one of the podcasts I named was Just One More Fix. One of the podcasts that you named was Forgotten TV Show. So I think we're good.
Yeah, we absolutely are. Changing podcast listener lives one podcast at a time, which is why today we're going to tell you about another podcast. This one here is one that you always want to check out. It is called Space Secrets with Stargate Spot Pioneer. You can find that available at snasa.space. Every week he goes through and he tells you about all of the secret government stuff happening in the world of space. It's all a mystery.
Or the secret government projects that happen in space 60 years ago.
We also had the one and only Sith Witch tweet us and ended up tweeting suggesting that a certain Twitter user listen to us for audio tips. She said, they are my Yodas and taught me everything I know about gear and editing. Aw, thank you very much for that, Sith Witch.
Thank you very much. And by the way, Sith Witch is the voice of the intro and outro of at Better Podcasting, which we might need her to re-record now that she has a Shure SM7B as her main microphone.
It's a must now, let's be totally honest.
At the Damien, the DM also tweeted us and he said, regarding Discord monetization, it's not hugely monetized, but there is Nitro. I have to say, neither of us have experience in running any Discord server. We've just participated in Discord servers. So I will throw that out to our audience. If you run a Discord server and you have attempted to monetize through Nitro or any other means, please let us know. Get back to us at BetterPod on Twitter, podcast at betterpodcasting.com on email, and let us know, because we would love to hear what your experiences are for that, because we know a lot of people out there would love to try it, just like a lot of people out there try Patreon for their hobby podcast.
We also had Joshua Liston say thanks to at BetterPod and at Podcast Helper this week. The other pods about pod were pretty weak. So, wow, what a compliment, I got to say. I did not expect to see that. And thanks very much for that, Josh. I had no idea that you enjoyed the show that much last week. So thank you. That's actually genuinely from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, indeed. Because I know for a fact that Josh listens to a lot of podcasts about podcasting. So I know we racked and stacked up against our competition. So thank you very much, Josh. That really meant a lot to both of us. And that also Jeremy T. Dennis, which you can find at Yak0DrG on Twitter. That's Yakk0DotOrg. He said, ties into your Discord app discussion from last week. We want to use it, but couldn't capture the video for some reason, and also hate it being in the PMs. That's interesting about the whole using a Discord to do a video podcast. If you have experience trying to use Discord for video podcasting, please let us know. And Jeremy, we did actually capture the video, but that was Steven using XSplit is how he was able to do that.
Yeah, and it worked pretty well with that, and I had no real problem with that. But yeah, maybe you're looking for another way to do it. I was using XSplit, so maybe if you're trying to capture it through another software, maybe that is how, or you're just wanting to capture the audio stream directly. I wish I had more advice for you on that. We also had Sean Riley on Facebook say, just found the show today. Really enjoying it. I really like the cumulative format of the show rather than random topics. It's something I've been considering for my own podcasts. And Sean, I will go ahead and apologize because I forgot to post this in our feedback from Facebook. This was a little bit ago. So that's on me because, as we know, Stargate Pioneer is not on Facebook because he went once and he ranted about how Mark Zuckerberg once beat him up and Mark Zuckerberg kicked him off of Facebook.
He's mean. He's also been working out, so I don't know if I want to mess with him. He can throw a mean punch.
We really honestly, though, appreciate that feedback because that shows us that you do definitely like that format, and we hope that you still are listening to the show and you still like it. But that is going to take us towards the end of the Better Podcasting podcast. Before we wrap up, I feel like I need to bounce off of my brief Zoom L12 discussion that I mentioned earlier, because those of you who are not familiar with my Zoom L12 experience may not know that I had a weird clipping noise that has been occasionally happening as I record it. Now, I'm not sure what was going on with it, but the long story short is that I filed a ticket and they believe that it is localized, of course, to my one unit. So I've actually just yesterday, before I left, sent it off. So it is on its way to Zoom to look at and hopefully diagnose and fix. I will report back, but I wanted to mention it on the show for two reasons. Number one, because I know a lot of people who have watched live have heard this problem. And so I want to make sure I set the record straight about that, that at this point, it is believed to be localized to my L12. I will report back once I get the unit back. The second reason why is because now we can count down how many days until I stop crying, because I miss my L12. I miss it a lot.
I miss your L12 too. I missed you licking it after every show. For those of you that don't know, once we turn off the live feed, Steven would always show me 5 minutes of L12 porn of him licking the mixer. So I don't know. Maybe that had something to do with the clipping. I don't know. No, I'm kidding, folks. Zoom, if you're listening, I'm kidding. Steven did not actually lick the mixer. As far as I know, he did not lick the mixer. So that shouldn't be the way it is. But yes, I miss it because it is a new digital age. And if I had the ability to bring in multiple video streams, and if I had the bandwidth to do that, which I don't, but if I did, I would have that L12 like Steven right now, and I would be using it as well. But yeah, I don't. So I miss Steven's.
So if you have any other questions about it, please let me know. Now, obviously, I may not be able to answer them until I get it back. However, I just wanted to make sure, again, to set the record straight about it and make sure that I tell you that I will follow up once I get it back and we will have an official debrief, because I'm quite enjoying it. And it is complicated, but been very useful for my particular setup. So that is going to take us towards the end of episode number 103 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew saying thanks for watching, thanks for listening, thanks for checking things out, and sorry you had to see my ugly mug in extra place.
And I'm SP saying, if you didn't catch it, catch the video, because the Shure SM7B was over Steven's right shoulder.
Bye.
See you guys later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.